Welcome to the Podcast Sessions with Retendo Nyamuda, where we chat all things podcasting. On today's episode, we chat to the incredible, award-winning Marianne Nobele, host of I Will Not Grow Old Here. Before we dive into today's discussion, you can download the latest issue of the Podcast Sessions digital magazine absolutely free. It is themed Give Her Her Flowers and would make for the most incredible International Women's Month gift. So download, subscribe, and share. All right, let's dive into today's discussion. My first question is, I just want you to take me back for a second. I want to go to March 2023. I Will Not Grow Old Here was nominated for a Podcast Academy Award at the AMBYs for Excellence in Audio, competing for the Best Documentary category against the likes of We Were Three. And this is a podcast that was produced by the New York Times and by Serial. So this is like the caliber of podcasts you are competing against for this award. I want to find out from you, like, take us back to the moment you're sitting in your seat. They're announcing the nominations. What is going through your mind?
To be honest, I feel like I kind of went blank. And I just remember we were sitting there and I was like, you know, the nomination on its own is a big deal because we were the first off the continent to be nominated in that category. So I was just like, that on its own is a win. And I didn't want to have my hopes too high. And the whole team was just like, oh, no, put your speech together. We're taking it. Put your speech together. And then we didn't take it. But I was okay with that because, I mean, hearing the story that won also felt like, okay, that's an insane story. So I got why they won. But I was still just happy to be there. I mean, if you've listened to the podcast, you can hear a lot of my goals that I'd spoken on and certain things I wanted to experience. So just being on that land, first of all, was like tick. Being nominated when I was just trying to tell my story was another big tick. And being at such a prestigious event felt so special to me. So as much as we didn't take that one home, the nomination is still something I hold really close to my heart. And yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at all.
Mm. And as you mentioned, like, you were the first African podcast to be nominated for an AMBY Award, which in itself is incredibly historic. You're only 24. I mean, these are dreams and goals that people who've been podcasting for a really long time are still on their vision board. And you're just like, yeah, I'm doing it. And so it is really, really big and such an incredible, even just the fact that you guys were nominated was such an incredible feat. But now we fast forward and we come to even closer times where you guys were nominated again for a One World Media Award in London. Similar situation, you know, now you're nominated for the Best Podcast and Radio Award. But this time you guys won, bringing home the really big award. I mean, again, this is just like monumental. We're talking about international global awards. So just take me now to the win. You know, you've been through this journey and now they announce, you know, you guys are the winner. What is the process? What is happening? What are you feeling?
So this time we're in Greece. We're in Athens because we were attending the Stavros Niarchos Foundation Nostos conference on mental health. So unfortunately, I couldn't be there. But a part of me was just like, I mean, you know, celebrating the nomination because I was never really the girl that was recognized for anything, you know, in like primary school, high school, ever in life. So just the nomination on its own felt surreal once again. And now we were in Athens and we were all sitting together as a team, just kind of chilling, like, tonight's the awards. And we got caught up in conversation. And our colleague who was attending on our behalf sends a message and she's like, we won. And I saw the message, but like, I'm like, what? Like, I just kept quiet because I'm like, no one else said anything. So maybe I'm tripping. Like, I don't know. You know, it's nighttime in Athens. We're tired. It's been exhausting. Like, maybe I'm tripping. And she sends me on screen because I had done a pre-recorded video in case I won. And I see that and I'm like, there's no way she'd just have access to that. And like, it's becoming a bit more real. And I'm like, no. So I'm looking at everyone else like, somebody say something. I need to know this is real. And Naomi was like, guys, we won the award. And I'm like, we won the award. And so it was crazy. It was so exciting to be like, not only did it get nominated, not only was our work recognized, but like, it took the award home, you know what I mean? It's coming back here to South Africa, which was so exciting for me just to realize that. I do wish I could have been there, because it's like the one I didn't win, I was there fully dressed, glam. And the one I couldn't attend, I unfortunately wasn't, you know, I take it home. But I'm just super happy it happened anyway. I know, like, my family's been so excited. Mm. They're like, when are we hosting a winning party? And I'm like, that's a thing? Because it still doesn't feel so completely real to me, the fact that we won an award for literally being authentic and sharing my story.
I want to find out from you, what does it mean to you, again, at 24, as a podcast, as a young African podcaster, to be recognized on these levels, in these international realms and platforms?
I think for me growing up, you know, you can hear in the podcast, I don't come from like a really privileged community. I'm surrounded by poverty. And I overall, my community, like people who come from where I come from, aren't really seen. And I think that's something I hid a lot, just my real life, my reality, how I was living, mostly because I didn't want people to start looking at me and seeing that and not seeing the person in front of them. And so I can't say like, where I come from is a place for a long time that I was like ashamed of, mostly because it's just like nothing great really comes from here. And so even just working on the podcast was like a really personal journey, because like I would have never told this story if I didn't have a team pushing me saying, no, like what? You're hiding that? That's not something to hide, because you're amazing nonetheless. And so having done that, being, you know, honest and transparent and completely real about where I'm coming from, how I'm living, instead of putting out the more glamorous side of my life and the cute things only. Having done that and being recognized and being treated like an equal in the world and not treated like anything less, I think that's what's really stood out to me. The fact that the one time in my life I was truly authentic, very true to myself and sharing my story, so much has come from it. I mean, this has been really life-changing, just the podcast, the journey. And when I did it, it was really just about sharing a story and I guess coming out, for those people who know me but don't actually know me, you know, the people I kind of hid my reality from for a long time. That's how I started to view the podcast. And it's like I came out and it's been nothing but like shining ever since. And so for me, it's just been a highlight that when you are your true authentic self, regardless of where you're coming from, what that background is looking like, it's not going to stop where you're meant to be, where you're meant to be going, and the places you'll have access to. I think that's what I'd want a lot of people from my community to start thinking of and realizing that, like, as much as this place isn't cute and a lot of terrible things happen here, it doesn't have to define who we are or where we're going to end up at the end of the day.
But I will now want to get to the heart of I Will Not Grow Old here. How did this come about? I know it's in, you know, it's a production from the Radio Workshop. How did this come about? How did you partner with them? Because again, you know, when one listens to the podcast, and even as you said, like the story, the journey, where you've been, where you're from, this is not the quintessential story that pops up in someone's production sphere. And they're like, yes, we're going to tell that story. We're going to do this podcast. And to be honest, it's not it. So the journey must have been one for the books. So give us some insights into the journey. How did you get involved in the Radio Workshop? How did you pitch the story of your podcast? And what is the story?
So Radio Workshop has worked with youth for years. I actually started working with Radio Workshop, I think it was in 2015, around then, as a young reporter, just working on the community radio station, what's happening around us, youth issues, that sort of thing. And then in 2021, December, Darshan calls me, and he's just like, oh, hi, I got your number from Mike. We're looking at working on a podcast on youth unemployment. So just tell me about yourself. Like, we'd like you to be the reporter. And so obviously I'm just telling him about myself. Little did I know that was an audition. And I'm just telling him about myself, what I'm into, what I'm doing. And especially because at that time I was like kind of just bored with my life, and I was putting together a vision board, like the type of stuff I want to do, and radio was kind of big on that, just kind of getting back into the radio space, with tons of other things. So it just felt like podcasting is, you know, the audio storytelling, same line. So it just felt like, oh my gosh, I hope I can be part of this. So I'm just there like, oh, great. We're going to be telling a story of youth unemployment. I've already thought of so many people in Alex who are being affected by youth unemployment. And now I meet the team, and that's, we're talking about youth unemployment. But there was a strong highlight of how I'm a pretty employed young person. I was working like 3-4 jobs at the same time, all like part-time. And it's like, but here I am still feeling stuck. So maybe the issue isn't just the fact that these young people are living in Alex and don't have jobs, because here's a young person with quite a few jobs and she's still feeling stuck in Alex. She's still feeling hopeless and helpless in the situation. So maybe there's something we're not highlighting. And then that's when we started zooming in a bit more on my story. And it's like, how do you actually get so many jobs whereas your peers have none, but you're still kind of in the same position as them? And yeah, I Will Not Grow Old Here came about.
And as you said, like, this is, again, a story that we don't often hear, stories that we don't often hear in this context. So the way that even it has been produced in audio format, in, you know, the production in itself is quite a weighted production. And then also just looking at how timely this is. So, you know, some pieces of work and art and creativity can live in a season, but really this is a story that not only resonates with a lot of young people right now, but is a story that you can listen to this podcast in 2-3 years' time and feel like, wow, I could understand and I could see and I got something from that, which is incredible. I want to dive into, you know, some of the conversations that were had, right? Because this is also just, I mean, it's a documentary, it's a personal documentary, it's like a Dear Diary moment of some aspects. You really had some really heart-to-heart personal conversations with your mom, with your grandmother. Were there any conversations or any moments of you documenting your process? Because it was, what, over 6 months?
Yeah.
That you were documenting? Over 6 months of you documenting, you recording conversations with, you know, family members, people in your community. Were there any conversations you had or any moments where you were like, oh, this is actually too personal? I don't want to share this. This is my real diary that I'm putting to the world.
To be honest, just off the bat, like, talking about living in Alex, for me, just felt like people don't need to know this. Like I said, it was an aspect of my life that I did keep to myself, mostly because judgments, stereotypes, and all of those things, and I didn't want them to be put on me by the people I was often around. So just starting off there felt so and then also just sharing that, like, you know, living in a home with so many people, that sort of stuff felt so personal, because it's just like, I don't want people to look at me and just start thinking that, oh, shame, she's there with that baby cousin that's stressing her all the time because he wants to play or whatever. But I think what felt most personal is just my mom and my grand's experience of life. Firstly, because what you guys heard, a lot of it I was hearing for the first time, especially with my mom, from the certain things like she how she sees me, her hopes and aspirations for me, and just her, how, what she thinks of me, you know. I mean, I know my mom loves me and I've always known that, but these are the type of stuff that I just never spoken to her about and I never heard before in my life until working on the podcast. And I guess it's because these were never questions I would have asked. It's just kind of hoping that you're making your parents proud. And so hearing a lot of those things definitely for me felt so personal. And it's just like, I want to keep this for me, like in my heart. Because I guess for a long time, there's just certain aspects to these conversations that I wanted to hear. Like, you know, you want to hear that your parents are proud of you. And I don't think that's something I had heard a lot. But it really stuck with me in that conversation because it landed really differently. But also understanding my grand's life and how she lived during the apartheid era. There's some parts that we did keep out, like, for example, how my gran felt like during, and I mean, it's because she didn't grow up in Joburg, she grew up in Limpopo, but she didn't feel like she experienced racism. And it's because she wasn't around white people, you know what I mean? But it's like those type of stuff I didn't want to put in because I'm just like, it almost invalidates the experiences of those who did experience racism during that time. So yeah, it's definitely the moments where I heard stuff that I wanted to hear most of my life from my family, but just also understanding how they experienced life. And it made me understand a lot more why they are the people that they are today.
So fascinating and so insightful. Coming to the actual recording and the production of it, I mean, you're talking about conversations you know, your gran, your mom, we've spoken about community conversations. You spoke about one of the trickiest things was when you were now going outside. I want to find out like what your setup is on how you were recording inside the house, but also how you were recording outside, because you were saying from a safety perspective, you're walking around Alex with your equipment. And if anyone sees, you know, your equipment, it's going to be gone. So yeah. Talk to me about recording, how you managed to record in home and how different that was to recording outside home.
So at home, it was normal, easy. Like, you see, I'm talking to you from my room where I did quite a few tape. I know I interviewed my mom here, and it's quite quiet because it's indoors, it's safe, it's home. But going out, and I'll talk about the clip where I was going to work, like crossing that bridge from Alex into Weinberg, there's a lot of those people who do the recycling work. I'm not too sure what their like formal name is, but the ones who like slide on the trolleys picking up plastic bottles, and it's because that's where they drop off all their recyclables. But it's like so dodgy, it's a bit scary. And I mean, there are stereotypes around the type of people they are. They're associated with like nyaope and, you know, crime and whatever. And that was always the scariest part. So the way I'm dressed now is how I dress on a regular, just a hoodie and track pants. I'm never trying to look cute because it's just, you're not trying to look like a target. But even just putting I was so scared to have the lapel mic even peeking out here, because I'm just like, if anyone notices it. So it's like, if I did, I'd just kind of try to wrap my hair around it, because it's just like, it must look like, oh, maybe she spilled something, or it's just a weird thing caught onto her. And there was a point where I was walking to the cricket oval, and I wanted like the footsteps, you could hear that I was walking, maybe the car tires on the road. So I had put my lapel mic through my sleeve, and I had it dangling from here, because then I could, you know, have my hand down and not look like I was carrying anything. And that's the way I felt would be best to carry, like pick up the sound without being obvious. And then obviously if I wanted to talk, I could just hold it up like this and no one would pick up that I had it. But mostly I was just like, if anyone sees it, you know, they could casually just be like, oh, what's that? And I'm so friendly, and I've never experienced crime in Alex, so I would have probably just been like, oh, it's a mic. And then it's just like, oh, it's a mic, come here. And now they've taken my stuff, and it's not like I'm in a position to fight back. Look at me, I can barely see. What more, fight back criminals trying to steal from me. So it really was, I was super cautious about it, and I didn't want to be ignorant, because as much as I've never experienced crime in Alex, I've never been mugged, I've never been approached by guys trying to be like, hey, keep your phone, whatever. But I know it happens, because it's happened to so many people close to me, and I don't want to be the guy that's like, I'll only believe it when I see it. Like, I do not need to see that sort of thing happen. And I'm fully aware, like, I hear gunshots all the time from my bedroom, you know what I mean? So it's like, I know this stuff is happening out there. I just need to be grateful that I've never experienced it, and I need to pray that it stays that way.
But again, Marianne, and this is what is so fascinating for me about this production. So first of all, documentary style podcast, which is probably one of the lesser done podcasts, because from a production perspective, it takes a lot of time, right? From recording the content to editing, to finding the story, to editing it down. I mean, you're editing down 6 months worth of audio into three episodes. Do you know what I mean? And that in itself is one thing. But again, you're 24. You're out and about in one of the most dangerous places in, you know, South Africa. And it's just you and your mic. It's not like you have a team following you. This is not like the way that we see international documentary style podcast recording. You're just like, it's me and my mic and my lapel, and I'm going to record an award-winning documentary podcast. You know, that is a lot.
I'm a busy bee, man. I enjoy working. I enjoy being busy. It makes me feel like I'm living. It makes me feel alive. And so in doing it, the experience on its own was enough for me. But like, to think that it was award winning is just so much more mind blowing, because it's like, wow, like all those hundreds of hours of audio, it wasn't for nothing, you know, here, like it's being recognized. But to answer your question, yes, I think it was hundreds of hours. I remember Darshan told me the other day when we were talking about it, but it was like, it was tons of audio, and I have no idea how we brought it down to like 3 30-minute clips. It's just crazy.
That's so good. And talk to me a little bit about the production team itself. So understanding, you know, from an equipment perspective, I mean, you've spoken about it's the basics of the basics. I mean, this is not like a full-on studio kind of, you know, kind of a thing. Yeah. But from a staff perspective, from a support perspective, what did the team look like?
So we had Darshan, who was our senior producer, and he was essentially like my teacher. So anything I needed, it would be me and Darshan. If we were interviewing people on the ground, it would be me and Darshan. He'd be the one coming with me. If I needed the support, I think I preferred working independently, most because I'm just like, oh my gosh, what if I'm letting them down? So it's like rather I do it wrong myself and then get feedback instead of doing it wrong in front of someone else, because that just makes me feel really dumb and like, why can't I figure it out? But nevertheless, Darshan is so amazing because he's super supportive. And I remember there were times where he was so down to teach me everything from scratch. You know, at first I felt like, well, this feels condescending. I know how to use a recorder. But in him teaching me, it's like I learned how to use a recorder to its fullest. You know, it's like most people buy an iPhone because they want the camera, but it can do so much more than take pictures. And him teaching me how to use a recorder, for example, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, I can filter out sound. I don't need to just find like the most quiet place on the road. And that sort of thing. So he was my go-to guy. We had Rob Rosenthal. I hate saying people's surnames because I always get it wrong. And then we also had Lesedi Mukhatla. I know how to spell them. It's the saying them that's the problem. But they helped in terms of just like, so all those hours of tape, they were the ones helping us bring in the direction that, like, you know what, three parts, the first looking at this, the second looking at that, and the third looking at that, maybe looking. And then all of us as a team, I mean, Darshan worked on the scripting, but all of us as a team, because I mean, Darshan can't write for me. No one can speak like Mary Ann, but Mary Ann, you know what I mean? So it was a whole team effort to be like, okay, this is how we're going to talk on this. This is the audio that makes the most sense to highlight this issue or this part of things. We had Joe, who worked on the graphics. So that picture you see when you see the I Will Not Grow Old here, that was Joe Jackson. And then we had Mike Rayfeld, who had done the sound engineering. So every time I had a bit too much spit in my mouth while speaking, it's like, Marianne, please swallow next time and go re-record. That was Mike. But ultimately, we met weekly just to find out how what I was doing while working on all the audio, interviewing people, recording myself, getting solid feedback, which is probably one of my favorite parts of working with the team. And everything, it just felt, I really enjoyed. I'm a very social worker in the sense that I work really well in a team than I do alone. I can work independently, but like having support and relooking things together and saying maybe we can do this better next time is definitely where I flourish. And the team definitely allowed for that sort of thing to happen. I think that's why I worked so well, because they were really supportive throughout the whole thing.
Incredible. You spoke about scripting, and that for me I find quite fascinating, especially within a documentary style podcast, because as you said, there are certain things you can script, there are certain things you can't script. You can't script moments, and again, some of these things are being revealed as you're walking the journey, as you're speaking the journey. So how did that work with the, how much was scripted, how much was this is just what's happening and we're going to fit it into the script, so we need to add other layers to it, and how much of it was just like natural?
So, I mean, initially, how we started, it was all just get interviews, get clips of your life. That's how we started. It was just me walking to work, get that on tape. You talking to your sister, get that on tape. You fetching the baby from school, get that on tape. Like, it was just everything. Get it all on tape. You know, who can you talk to about unemployment? Get it on tape. So that's how we all started. So a lot of that was all unscripted. I mean, interviews, obviously I had to put down questions as to what I'm going to ask people, but I barely followed those. And I mean, you can tell it's very conversational. And that's because that's how I operate. I really suck at the ask something, answer. It's not my way of talking to people at all, even on radio. I'm a very conversational type person. So none of that was scripted. What was scripted was the narration. So like where I say, today we're visiting the AlexCS Hub. What they do is da 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 da. That's the parts that were scripted to be like, on this day, no, not on this day. I mean, I slated every tape, but to say that, oh, that's my baby cousin. He's 2 months old and he loves cocoa melon. Like those were the type of stuff that was scripted. Mm. So the narration, the stuff that we used to put all the clips and audio that we had recorded over the first few months together, that's what we had scripted. And I obviously had to be a key part of that, because if I was reading something, you'd be able to tell I was reading something. It had to feel like me and be something I would say.
And it really did. I must say that the one of the things that made me quite emotional listening to the podcast was how descriptive it was. It's one thing for me to say, I walked to school today, or I had this for breakfast, you know, no emotional, no color, but the way you painted every experience. And yes, there was a lot of additional sounds and the foley we could hear in the background, which also enhanced it. But it was the fact that you were just like, you were in the museum and you're just like, we're the only ones here. And you can picture the emptiness, you know, you're like the juxtaposition between Alex and Santon, and the fact that it is just in close proximity, those moments where you're just like, I can see it. I might not be there, but I can see what you see.
I love that. That's so amazing, because I mean, and you're not the only person that said that, but I've always, like, I just worried. And I think once I started to understand that we're telling a story, it's not just giving the facts of unemployment versus the reality, but like, you need people to sit down and feel like, yo, the difference is insane. Yay, that museum is empty. Ugh, the baby cousin is stressing her again after school. That sort of thing. Like, it needed to, I wanted people to feel like they were here with me in Alex, living my life. And I think once I became comfortable with letting, you know, the world in, I think it really did change the direction of like how it felt recording stuff and talking to people, and all of that stuff that I probably wouldn't have ordinarily shared before working on this project.
Certainly. Out of interest, was this your first time working on a podcast production?
Yes. It was always just radio before this. So any background experience I had was being on the field, getting people's opinions on topics. But before that, podcasting was completely foreign to me. Well, not completely foreign. I had listened to podcasts, but like working on one, I did study I went to Wits Radio Academy, and I did have a project to work on a podcast, and it's been taken down now because I didn't keep up at it. And Iona was just like, ma'am, we see you not using the account, so we're shutting it down. So it's gone. But I did work on a podcast. But that was it. It was just an assignment for school. That was the only podcast experience I had prior to this. So that's why it was such a learning journey for me. And I can't, I've really fallen in love with it.
Oh, wow. And talk to me about, I want to actually ask, because I feel like as much as this was a documentary style project, I'm like, you know, if you did a season two and this is like Marianne is now, you know, she has her full-time job, she's running her company, whatever it is that you do next, I think that is, you're always listening out for a why. Like, why do we watch the shows and the series that we get? And I think that was one of the tension points, not just for you, but for youth in general. It's this hope. And it's the every time we hear your voice is like, is there an additional hope? Has something happened, you know? And that's what we're longing for as the audience. Because I'm just like, please just, you know, I'm also just like Team Marianne all the way. But I think, are there any plans for a possible season two, or what happens next?
So we did, like, at the end of this, because I'm just like, I do think we left a big question mark. Like, she's saying she will not grow old here, but do we ever find out if she... you know, what's happening so that she doesn't grow old here? I won't lie, that stressed me a bit, because now it's just like, I feel like you know, the world is holding me to it. Like, girl, you said you don't want to grow old there. You better make it happen. You better get out. Mm-hmm. But I kind of love that for me too, because I am the type to work under pressure, like as in there's expectations, there's standards now. You need to meet them. So I do love that for me. But I definitely would like to do a season two, part two. I don't know what we'd even call it. Like maybe 3 to 5 years from now. Because I was 23 when we worked on this. And so in 5 years, I'd be like 28. And quite frankly, I do have goals. Like I do want to see myself in a certain position at the age of 28. So I feel like we're like accountability buddies now. You know what I mean? Me and everybody who's listened to the podcast. But I'd definitely be keen to do that. Like in 5 years' time, what's changed? What's happened? Are tons of young people still struggling in Alex? Am I still, you know, doing the work, but it's not working out? Yeah, that's, I'm definitely open to it. I am also like looking at opening a chatcast, where it's like a podcast, just me kind of talking through. So it's like, it would be a lot like the diary sessions that you guys heard in the podcast, but obviously extended, less filtered, less cut and chopped together. So I guess it would kind of be like keeping up with the journey towards the part two of the series. I don't know. It's still in the air. Nothing's completely clear, but my head is, it's there.
Amazing, Marianne. Well, you know, we, especially here at the podcast sessions, will be looking out for it. I mean, obviously, this is how you're going to start. You're going to be like, I am a internationally nominated and winner of multiple awards as a podcaster. Sips tea, side eyes, you know, then welcome. I'm Marianne. You know what I mean? I've written your intro. Don't stress. Done.
Love it. Love it.
And so, Marianne, for people listening to today's episodes, how can they connect with you? How can they listen to the podcast? How can they touch base with you on social media?
So I am most active on Instagram. My handle is Marianne_NBL. And I respond to DMs. I do. I've received so much love where, like, there was a girl from Nigeria who messaged me and I'm like, in Nigeria? What? Thank you. And I think I haven't really fathomed how far this podcast, has gone. Like, to me, I'm still expecting it to be the girl next door to be like, hey, I heard the little project you worked on. And so when I'm getting DMs from people around the world, it really just feels like, what? How? So yes, Instagram, Marianne_NBL. I do have like a little email bar on my Instagram if anyone wants to send an email. But to hear the podcast, please do check out I Will Not Grow Old Here. It's on Spotify, on Apple Podcast. And just check out all the stories by Radio Workshop, really. They're not all three-part series, you know, taking you on personal journeys, but they are all really heartfelt. And even I listen and I'm just like, all of us have so much to tell. Like, you know, I'm really hoping that the award I won really gets to realize, like, it's made other people be like, there are so many stories in Africa to be told, and they want to help us tell them, really. That's what I'm hoping for at this point in time. But yep, Instagram, Marianne_NBL, slide in those DMs. And yeah, Spotify, Apple Podcast, keep up with us.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Please definitely rate this episode and give us a comment on whatever platform you're listening to it on. And don't forget that you can download the latest issue of the Podcast Sessions digital magazine absolutely free. It is themed Give Her Her Flowers and would make for the most incredible International Women's Month gift. So download, subscribe, and share. See you soon.